You're listening to Building the Broncos with Nick Kendall and Carl Dummler, Broncos Country's leading draft and scouting analysts. Get on over to milehighhuddle.com to sound off on all things Broncos.
All right, welcome in everyone to Building the Broncos. I am, of course, Carl Dummler, your host, and joining me once again is Mr. Nick Kendall. Nick, I mean, can't even hardly ask you how you're doing. The news broke right before we started our show here, as I'm sure most of you in the comments and everybody else kind of know. Von Miller possibly done for the season. Doesn't get much worse than that. I think maybe the only worst injury that there could be is maybe Drew Lock.
Yeah, I will obviously get to it here in a second and let the chat catch up for a little bit. I see a lot of people in here also mourning, so we'll get to that news in a second. But I'm going to do my best to keep it family-oriented in here. But know in my heart, I am talking like a sailor right now. I am upset. I am not happy about it. This sucks.
Yep, it does. This guy's been the heart of the Broncos almost pretty much since he's been drafted. I mean, I guess there's other players you could say were the heart, but I mean, just Von Miller has been the Broncos. And yeah, there's just not much to say other than this sucks.
Anthony Jones.
Yep.
Good to see you, Anthony. Anthony Jones, yep.
We're on the same thought. This sucks. That's the simple and best way to put it right now. It's not a fun situation. I can't believe, and the last play of practice too. Anyway, we'll get into that. We're going to talk about what this means for the Broncos, everything else. Before we do that, we want to let you know that today's episode is sponsored by sportsbetting.com. Enter the free $1 million pick'em contest by visiting sportsbetting.com/pick'em football. That's sportsbetting.com/pick'em football for a chance to win $1 million. And make sure you're also following us on Twitter. You can find me at Carl Dummler MHH and Nick at Nick Kendall MHH. And you can follow the podcast Twitter account at BTB Football Pod. Make sure you subscribe to our show wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a rating. And also don't miss out on all of our great off-season content at milehighhuddle.com of Sports Illustrated. And know that our podcast is powered by Overtime Media.
This is the Overtime Podcast Network.
Okay. Let's get into this.
God.
So our original subject today was to talk about an article on ESPN. They predicted the Broncos to finish third in the AFC West and go 8-8. And we were going to talk about how we felt about that. That's kind of a lot of people don't know where the Broncos are going. And you said it before the show, Von Miller himself could be worth two games.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about it before we got in here, but Von Miller, obviously he's been battling. He was one of the first players in the NFL to announce that he had the current infectious disease that's going around. And again, sorry, we have to dance around it because the filter's on YouTube. Can't say the word outright, but he's battled back from that. I mean, he looked like he was in phenomenal shape. Really excited to see Bradley Chubb, who's also nursing an injury, to get back out there with Von Miller. And apparently he suffered a ankle or foot injury right now. There's conflicting information out there. We'll obviously update it as we can. We got Bwana Beast behind the scenes trying to update the Twitter feed to see what those sources have to say, but suffered an injury. And it seems pretty consistent across the board that it is going to be a one that's going to require surgery and is likely season ending for Von Miller on the Denver Broncos this year. So that's about as big of a loss as you can get. I mean, Von Miller is obviously, I believe, 30, 31 years old. So he's at that end of his kind of peak right now, but he's still one of the best pass rushers in football. Year two of the scheme, a better defensive line. We all got robbed. Von Miller especially obviously got robbed, but we're all going to get robbed of a great year this year for Von Miller. So it's just a major bummer. I'm kind of sorry, guys, if I'm kind of just deer in the headlights right now. We found out about this 15 minutes ago. I was taking the dog out to use the restroom, and then all of a sudden, Von Miller injury, probably out for the year. say psych, you know. I had a Von Miller shirt on. I had to take it off. I was just so upset. I'm upset.
Just to show how quickly and how bad this news is, the betting has gone from a 1-point game to already 2.5. And that news broke, what, 15 minutes ago?
Yeah, and it's not just that Von Miller's injured and all of that, but going into the season like that, to get that news when he is obviously not only the leader of the defense, but he's the face of the franchise.
Yep.
And to like have that sucked from you this close in the last play of the year on a freak injury, somebody said, God bless it. I just want to shout cuss words right now. You guys can cuss in the comment section. I'm going to keep it PC on here, but I'm so bummed. I'm so bummed.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've all been quietly excited about this season for the Broncos, thinking that there was some real, real potential for something big to happen if all the top guys could stay healthy. And I know they always say injuries are not an excuse, but there are certain players that injuries matter. Losing that type of talent on the field, that type of person in the locker room is a really big deal. And I mean, I like what Atatu showed last year, but he's half of what Von Miller brings to the game.
I mean, Von Miller, he's a player that you have to scheme out as an opposing offense. Otherwise he will wreck your game. And so we're excited about Chubb's potential. Let's assuming he can get healthy to get out there. But I mean, even though both of them are top five picks, Von Miller was one of the premium pass rushers in all of football and still was, even though he's coming off somewhat of a down season last year. So, I mean, I guess we'll obviously talk about what this means for the defense. We'll talk about what it means for the edge rushers. But I think the biggest thing is, I think we talked about it as well, but I mean, not to be doom and gloom, but let me see if I can find the comments right here from LJGDMG. Denver was 6-10, 7-9 team at best this year. Final rosters isn't that good. Now Von out 4-12, 5-11, top five pick next year. That's a little bit pessimistic. I don't know if that's a Raiders fan in there. I can't tell based on the picture, but I thought this Broncos team, I had them probably 8-8, 9-7. I thought 8.5 was a good number for them. But now with this injury, I mean, two wins, I think probably I'd knock them down to 7.5 a full game with Vegas. And right now, you know, 6-10 to 8-8 seem more feasible than a winning record. Now this is the heat of the moment. I'm obviously I try not to let emotions run decisions. I'm way more analytical, but it just seems like this is a major kick in the groin for the whole team, and especially a team that was going to have to rely on their defense this year.
Yep.
Going to have to rely on their defense.
Right. And especially when you're thinking about right off the bat going against Derrick Henry. Von Miller, I think, is one of the more underrated run edge defenders. He's one of those guys. He's not destroying plays in the backfield a whole lot in the run game, but he's holding his edge. this is really, we need his spot. Okay. I'll try. I'm trying. It's hard to find the silver lining here in a situation like this. I still expect the Broncos to be decent. It just means one, the offense has to get on track faster than people realized. I mean, we're not saying now, hey, give them half the year for this team to be able to be successful. It is the offense has to go out there and start averaging 24 points a game right off the bat. At least that's in my opinion, at least.
Good luck.
And
I mean, they might be playing two of the best defenses in the entire AFC in back-to-back weeks with a very underrated Titans defense. Great front. Just bringing on Jadeveon Clowney. I guess, you know, everybody was talking about, hey, the Broncos should bring on Jadeveon Clowney before. And I was like, oh, that's stupid. Now it's like, well, here we are. And then also Pittsburgh, who I think actually has the best defense in the AFC. So 24 points a game off the bat, Carl. I get you're saying that's a want, but like,
I'm just saying that means now with this happening, it just means the offense has to step up that much more, because Von Miller to me is worth probably at least 3 or 4 points a game by himself.
Yeah. And it's not just
means your offense needs to score 3 or 4 more points per game if you're going to be winning these games. But yeah, Duke Boynton coming in here. here's our positivity guy. Next man up, strike first, strike hard, no mercy. #BroncoKai. I just got done watching the second season of that show, of Cobra Kai. And yes, Terry Randall is all of us right now.
Not enough crying emojis in there. I'm not just, I'm just sad.
Yeah, so. It is. I feel more than anything for Vaughn, because I mean, this guy worked, like you said, he worked his tail off, came back from being sick earlier in the off season, looked like he was in maybe some of the best shape of his life. Really, I felt like was developing into a bigger leader than he's been in the past. I mean, he's talked about that, that's what he wants his legacy as he moves on with the Broncos to be, is being that bigger leader and voice for him, and losing that. It's very, very devastating for him and just for the guys in the locker room to lose such a veteran presence, especially the young guys who look up to a guy like Vaughn Miller that have been watching him for years. It's tough. But Pranked Films coming in here with the super chat. Could Denver sign Clay Matthews at this point?
I guess it's an option, but he was, let's just call it as it is, he was bad last year.
Yep.
with the Rams, and that was a pretty darn good defensive front. I mean, obviously Aaron Donald, but they also had Sue. So, and he was just, I mean, he was essentially a body out there. You know, he has no bend and he has no burst. He's just like, I can kind of play the edge and drop into coverage. But as far as pass rushers go, Clay Matthews is, has been.
Yeah. It's, I agree. He's pretty much a has-been at this point. I will say they've moved him around a lot lately.
It's because he can't cut the edge. He has to be moved around.
It is true. He does his best work trying to rush up the middle anymore. And that's not really what the Broncos need. They need a guy that can bend around the edge. And it's just going to have to be where they rely on Malik Reed and Atachu at this point.
Justin Fields, if we are a top five in the draft. Yeah, let's see how Drew Lock plays first before we can even start entertaining quarterbacks. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. Okay, so I guess now we have a couple of people talking in the comments. We obviously have the Clay Matthews, which here we go. Clay Matthews is 175 years old. I don't disagree. I can't confirm that, but I do not disagree. So I guess what are the Broncos doing now? What does it mean for the Broncos as far as let's just assume worst case scenario for the 2020. I was waiting for what was going to be the bad news in September. Granted, a small scale, but like Vaughn Miller, God, that one's personal. Yeah. What do the Broncos do now? What happens now at the edge rusher position?
Okay. So, I mean, edge rusher, it's going to be a rotation because Bradley Chubb is still coming back from his injury. He's not 100% yet. Vic Fangio said as much last week. So you're going to have that rotation of Atachu, Reed, and Chubb kind of going, the three of them trying to hope that they can kind of hold up as they get ready to go. And I'm not even sure who you bring in for the fourth. Do you bring in your seventh round pick who Vic Fangio himself said he's not ready and just have him there as depth? I don't know. Do you go to some team's practice squad? You say maybe Justin Hollins is not protected by the Rams. I'm not sure if he is or not. And just say, hey, come on back, buddy. Now you're on the roster. I don't know exactly what you do at that fourth spot. It does mean, one, you're going to have to really depend on that interior pressure where Casey, Draymond Jones, Shelby Harris, all those guys are going to have to really, really step up and be that pressure system for them. Since you're going to be lacking in that fourth spot, it means that they're probably going to have to bring Alexander Johnson on those A-gap blitzes a lot more, which he's really, really good at, which puts more pressure on your secondary, which is already a question mark. So it means you're going to have to get creative as a defense. I mean, that's the big thing. Whenever you – if you don't have the talent, you have to be creative. Part of the 2005 Broncos defense, they weren't the most talented. But they did great because they really kept an offense questioning what they were going to do because they were blitzing a lot. They were bringing a lot of creative blitzes. And now once you run into really good teams that figure those things out, you're in trouble. The great quarterbacks, those things don't work. Usually that's why they have such a high quarterback rating against the blitz. Usually those blitz packages work against the young guys. They don't work against the old guys.
I mean, there's no fooling them. They know what the blitzing means. Typically, rule of thumb is if there's a blitzer, you throw from the space they vacated. So that's why, like, quarterbacks, let's say you have a linebacker pressure coming up the middle. Well, that means there's going to be space there. So if you look to that area or wherever that read is going, then typically that's where you're going to get your play. But I guess, Carl, give us the update again. People are getting here not exactly as we started the show. So what do we know right now with Von Miller?
So this is what Adam Schefter had to say 28 minutes ago. There's still new information coming in. I know Nikki tweeted out that it's not an ankle injury. It's actually a foot injury. But Adam Schefter said the leg injury that NFL Network said Von Miller suffered is an ankle injury per source. There's fear that it's season ending. Per sources, Miller was hurt near the end of practice. What one person called a freak injury. Team still evaluating MRI now.
This is the Overtime Podcast Network.
Although here at Mile High Huddle, we know that Broncos country is not a geographic location, but rather a state of being. For those located in the state of Colorado, there's $1 million up for grabs in the sportsbetting.com Pro Football Pick'em Contest. What's amazing about sportsbetting.com's Pick'em is that it's absolutely free to play. I can vouch for this because just a few minutes ago, I hopped on sportsbetting.com and entered the contest, made my picks, and it was not only easy, it was fun. All you have to do is make 16 picks against the spread and 16 over-under picks in the NFL's Week 1 slate of games. If you get all your picks correct, you'll walk away with $1 million. Winner, winner, chicken dinner, and here's the kicker. Sportsbetting.com is guaranteeing a $10,000 prize pool to the top five finishers, with the first runner-up getting $5,000. Not a bad consolation prize. It's free, easy, fun, and you could walk away with big bucks if you get all your picks correct. Enter the $1 million contest at sportsbetting.com/pick'em-football. That's sportsbetting.com/pick'em-football.
Yeah, that's and then Mike Kliss said Von Miller suffered a lower leg injury in the ankle area on one of the last plays of the day's practice. Had an MRI, going to consult with Dr. Robert Anderson in Green Bay. Surgery is expected and doesn't look good. So I don't want to say, you know, worst case scenario, but, you know, things are not trending the right direction for the Broncos in this news. And we got a super chat here from Discount Audio on Wheels. Offense needs to pick up their end. Sad about Von news. This may even be the end of his Bronco career, something we're going to get to going forward here, which I hate to say, but maybe the reality due to money. Very sad day in Broncos country. The Hollins cut hurts. Definitely in hindsight, it does hurt. Granted, Broncos were kind of, there's a word I want to use that I'm not going to use here, kind of jolting him around as far as his role and whatnot. So maybe he wouldn't have been the best option to, nobody's going to fill Von Miller's role, but to play some of those snaps because, oh, is he an edge? Is he an off ball? They don't know what to do with him. Not a Bronco anymore. So I guess it doesn't matter, but, yeah, no, it's a bummer. And also, Nikki Jablava said she's now covering the Redskins for the Athletic, but used to cover the Broncos for many years, that it was a foot injury. So waiting for more confirmation. We'll know more 24 hours from now, but I think probably everybody needs to operate right now in that due to some lower leg injury, Von Miller is not going to play 2020 for the Broncos.
Yeah.
I think that's a reality we have to operate in based on just how negative things were.
Yeah. So – yeah, that's where things are at right now. Like I said, it is kind of where the offense is going to have to step up. They really are. I mean, they can't be carried by this defense again this year. That's just not going to happen. I think this defense can still be a good defense even without Von Miller because they still have good players. Drell Casey, we've both said Draymond Jones, we think is going to emerge this year. Bradley Chubb, of course, they're in the secondary, two great safeties. Boye, everything we've been hearing is he's having a great camp, looking like a true number one. Callahan's look good. Don't know about the number three cornerback yet. We'll see as that develops. But they felt good enough that they cut two of their veteran guys to make room for the young guys that they really like. But it's still – the defense isn't the same. I mean, that's – I think that's a no-brainer. No duh. Why'd I have to say that? But it just – It's not a defense that I view as going to be top three this year. Like I thought they could be if all the things went right for the defense this year.
I always thought of them in that 5 to 7 range, just because you have questions in the back end of the defense.
Right.
But I thought the defensive front could be good enough. And with the safeties also, could be top seven, top five, but I mean, this really puts them more in that 12 to 8 range, in my opinion. And some people are really excited about the Malik Reed, maybe Jeremiah Itachu, but I don't see either of those guys as being starters for a good team. Neither of them really offer that alpha trait, I guess you're looking for an edge rusher, somebody who can win at a dominant rate. I mean, Malik Reed was an undrafted free agent, which if you guys know anything about the draft process, edge rushers, typically their ability is so much predicated on their athletic prowess that guys will bust that are drafted in the first round. But typically the guys who are the difference makers in the NFL are the first rounders. Now, obviously there's Shaq Barrett's and whatnot that happened. You know, there's also Tom Brady's that are 6th round picks, but that's you're like saying that I'm going to rely on my retirement package on winning the lottery.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, good luck.
Yeah. Good freaking luck. It's the exception, not the rule.
Oh, it needs to be a higher grade than that. Yeah. It's just so astronomical.
Yeah. Mr. Clutch asking the question, should we trade for someone now? I've seen a few people putting out there some different names. Of course, bringing back Shaq, trading for him. I don't think that's going to happen. Tampa Bay's trying for a Super Bowl right now. They're not going to trade a player that they think can be a difference maker. Matt Judon is another one. But again, the Ravens are trying for a Super Bowl.
So what teams, I guess I can say suck. What teams are going to suck this year that might be looking to trade some pass rushers that don't have guys that are like super duper young and cost controlled? Because that'll rule out like a bunch of the, like Josh Allen for the Jaguars is gone.
Right. Washington.
But they're all, I guess.
Ryan Kerrigan.
I was going to say if the Broncos, Ryan Kerrigan, actually, that was one of my main comps for Chubb coming out. But if the Redskins stink, maybe you're looking to trade for Ryan Kerrigan. That's a name that I'd look out for. Obviously, they have Montez Sweat. They're not getting rid of Chase Young. Anybody in the comment sections, just stop right now. But Ryan Kerrigan is a good name that comes to mind. I'm not sure how the contract works out there, but that is somebody that would make a lot of sense. You guys, I'm sure in the comment section, just think about bad teams and their potential edge rushers. But we will see. And we got this is not the worst comment here coming in from a Raiders fan. Wish the best for Vaughn. Raiders, let's go. Raider Nation, are you ready for some football? So Raiders fans, not the best, but we do appreciate the wishing the best for Vaughn. I see everybody saying the Jags right now, but I'm not really sure exactly who's going to be on that team that would make sense. It's a pretty young team. So major bummer there again. And Schefter saying that he has lost indefinitely, nothing specific. So thanks for the update, Buona. I'm just kind of at a loss for words. And Carl, be careful on your phone there. I think we're getting a little bit of feedback, a little bit static because of it. Ryan Kerrigan is one that makes sense, especially if his contract is short term. I wouldn't be looking to give up more than like a 3rd round pick. I know he's been great for a long time, but you're talking about a rental, if anything. So, I mean, Kerrigan, talk about consistent. He's had like 8 sacks every single year of his career, which is good, not great. But, I guess that's one that comes to mind.
Yeah. This would be pretty crazy, but just because he has a connection to Fangio, I don't expect the Bears to be great this year.
I don't think the bat contract would work just off the bat.
Probably not.
Because of how expensive he's going to be.
Yeah. No, I agree. I'm just saying if they want to go all out and just think that they are a great team this year, that's somebody. Eric coming in. Ezekiel Ansah is the best free agent out there. Trade targets, not much. So there's a name for you to think about. He's kind of one of those, looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane, unfortunately. Just hasn't really ever developed into that all-star player that a lot of people thought he was going to be.
Yeah, and I think it's important. We see some people talking about Achilles. Nicky Jablava said it was a foot injury, where some other people are saying ankle. So given the severity of it, Achilles is on the table, but that kind of contradicts what Nicky said. And with the foot injury, I do worry about the Liz Frank injury, which if you guys recognize that term, that's the one that after Ryan Clady had that, he essentially was done. Which, I mean, Brian Clady was one of the best left tackles in football for his career, but once that Liz Frank injury happened, he was done. So I guess we'll hope for the best, but until we know more, we can't really go much further than throw out possibilities.
Okay, we got another super chat coming in here from Andrew Moreau. Thank you very much for that. 2020 strikes again. Prayers for him and healing. But hey, you never know. I literally just bought a Von Miller plaque 2 hours ago. Hashtag whiskey fun because it's that kind of night. Go Broncos. Well, I mean, it's still a good investment. Von Miller, he's going to go to the Hall of Fame, so it's still a good investment that way. But at least it's not one of those where you buy a first round picks jersey and then they're cut that year.
Yeah, that's a good point for sure. And also interesting note, this is Ryan Kerrigan's last year of his contract. So that means that he's much more likely to be moved and not for very much as well.
It really is the one that makes the most sense.
Huh. Well, Carl, yeah, everybody heard it here first. That came out of Carl's brain or the other end.
They're one of the same, man.
Yeah, sometimes when you're sometimes. I wouldn't say for you specifically, but just talking about myself. But Ryan Kerrigan is one that interests me. Probably Redskins not in selling off the bat like the Jags are, but I feel like after a few games, that's one I would be looking into. So keep that one on the front of your mind. I actually really like that one, Carl. And I guess we should probably get to the comment section here, guys. I'm sorry all this news that's going on. I've never had a chat before where we have so much information, I guess, to break. Like we had our whole thing planned out and then it went to the wayside.
So goes life, man. Jonathan Chavarez coming in here with another super chat. Really appreciate that. And you talked about this right before our show. We've been robbed twice on not being able to watch Vaughn and Chubb play together. That was supposed to be the new DeMarcus Ware, Von Miller combination. You know, the two top rushers or combo rushers in the league. And yeah, for a second year in a row, we do not get to see it. And I don't know if we'll ever get to see it now.
Yeah, I think this is a good time for a conversation that we should have there. As far as Von Miller is, and sorry guys, this is going to be such a negative episode, but is this the end for Von Miller in Denver? I mean, you have this injury now. He's going to be 31, 32 next year, and there is a club option next year. So all of this points to, especially with how expensive the Broncos team currently is, you have Cortland Sutton could hold out next year for a contract if he wanted to. You have Justin Simmons, who needs to get paid. You're not really sure what you're doing with Boye and Casey, but with that Broncos, with Von Miller's contract, this could be the end of Von Miller in Denver. They could move on from him after this year.
Yeah. It's almost blasphemous to say, just because it is Von Miller. But at the same time, you're right. Contract-wise, age-wise, injury-wise, all of that playing into it, it'd be a huge risk to keep going forward with him when you do have other younger players that are probably going to be the core of your team for the next 5-10 years that you need to get paid. And so I don't know. It really depends for me on the injury. We don't know the specific injury yet. If it is an Achilles, those are really, really tough for edge rushers to come back from. If it is a true Lisfranc injury, again, another injury for a guy that requires cutting on his foot that hard to come back from. If it's a broken ankle, he can come back from that. He can be fine. So it really does depend on the injury for me.
This is the Overtime Podcast Network.
Yeah, and with, again, the state of the world right now and the money that the Broncos could free up from moving on from Von Miller, I'm on over the cap right now. It says moving on from Von Miller will create $18 million in cap room, which, I mean, moving on from Von Miller, it seems, I know a lot of people see for some reason it's this yearly topic of, the Broncos should get rid of Von Miller, but you're probably not going to get equitable return versus what he brings on the team, especially with the dead money hit. Yeah. But that's changed now. I mean, it says right now, I'm not sure how this works with the somebody in the comment section might be able to get this, but I'm not sure how it works with the dead money, with the option, if that dead money still carries over. But he would only have, it says, $4,125,000 in dead money if the Broncos to move on from him, but $18 million in cap savings. So if this injury is significant, I mean, we really might have seen Von Miller play his last snap in Denver.
Yeah.
I guess there's a possibility. There's a possibility they could not do the option and then give him a new contract. But I feel like Von wouldn't do that. Also, I feel like Von, if that happened, if the Broncos moved on from him there, you're probably seeing Von Miller go to like Dallas or something, which, gosh, wash my mouth out with the soap. But just gut feeling.
So quick, there's a few names that I've seen coming up in the chat just to run them by you, see what you think. We've got Terrell Suggs. I've seen a few people mention him, old for sure, but if he's in shape, let's do it. I will say I was impressed with him with the Chiefs. It wasn't that he was outstanding by any means, but compared to what I thought he was going to bring, he brought more than I thought he would.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely an option. I'd feel better about him being a starter than Jeremiah Itauchu or Malik Reed. And that's still another, I mean, I see some people mentioning Tuska as well. Tuska's just, he's not physically ready out there, which would be great. I mean, I love the upside. I think Tuska's actually might have a chance to be a guy who transitions to a, maybe even off-ball role because he's got shorter arms, but he's a good athlete. So there's a possibility there, but I think Suggs is one that actually does seem feasible. And also because it's a weird world and it's so close to the season, Suggs is one that at least since he's been around the block so many times, it wouldn't be as hard to plug and play him in comparison to many other players that you could bring in.
Right. All right. We got Jamie Collins from Derek B.
Is he an edge rusher, especially one in Vic Fangio's defense, which requires so much gap discipline?
Nope. And I would say, yeah, kind of like you were saying there, the discipline side of things, part of what makes Fangio's defense is so great is everybody has to do their job. Even if it looks like, hey, this other guy's going to go this way, and you get guys who start doing some
freelance.
It is going to absolutely fail. That's why the defense struggled early in the year, because some guys were out of position, not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And it's also why other guys like Devonta Harris last year could plug and play in there because he was doing his job. Now, he wasn't great, but you can get some of those kind of players that can come in and do decently enough to still make the defense function if they do what they're called to do. So I just can't see him being a great fit with Fangio. But here's another name, Shane Ray for depth.
I don't think Shane Ray is coming back to Denver.
Yeah, there was some major hurt feelings in that whole situation. And on both sides, really. I mean, just the Broncos were pretty upset about his ankle injury, or not ankle, his wrist injury. And pretty much he tried to tough through it instead of going and getting the surgery earlier. And so then all of a sudden, boom, he's missing the season.
Also, he's pure finesse.
Yeah.
Where this defense, typically it seems like the Fangio defense looking for a little bit more power options. Unless that guy can be a little bit of a hybrid player. But I think they're looking for more of a power option, even though Vaughn isn't.
I told you, Mac and Fangio reunion.
Carl, you came up with it, but if the Broncos, let's say the Broncos start off the season, I don't know, 4-2, so they're looking like they could be doing something, I'm going to be banging that Ryan Kerrigan drum because he is super underrated in the one-year contract, everything. I mean, the same draft class as Von Miller. So that one actually makes a lot of sense because the Bears, I mean, as fun as it would be to talk about bringing on Mac, I think his contract is an absolute albatross and they would have to eat so much dead money to do that. It's not happening. You know, it's like kind of that protection when you get that new contract.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Will we get a Miller update today? Probably not, because he's flying to Wisconsin to get a second opinion. And I doubt that he's going to be able to make it there tonight, get in there, get tested with everything that needs to get tested, and get the report back out. It'll be like 2 a.m. if that report came out. So right now, I think you're just going to have to wait till tomorrow or the next day to really get your information.
Yeah, it stinks. And according to Buana, there's really no new information out there. So that stinks. So, I mean, to talk about the Broncos' current addresses, I saw somebody comment that Benjamin Albright said that Malik Reed is now the starter. So I guess, what does that look like? What are reasonable expectations for Reed this season after what we saw last year, where he kind of started off hot and then just the rookie wall came really early for him, and then we did not hear from him again, really?
Well, I mean, like you said, he did start out really, really hot. he looked like all of a sudden this next guy that's going to emerge, the next Shaq Barrett. And so for the first about two or three games, I was downright impressed with him and was going, man, I had this guy wrong. And so maybe you can weather those first few games because Malik Reed will have his legs underneath him. And from everything I've heard from camp, he's actually looked pretty darn good there for a while. I think a lot of people thought Justin Hollins would kick him off the roster, and yet he kicked Hollins off the roster and then beat out Atachu as well. So I think that says a little something about him, but it's still one of those. He was still not great against the run because he's tiny. So his ability to hold up on the edge is going to be a question. If I'm the Titans, I'm running right at Reed and testing that early and often. Yeah. And I just don't think that's going to be a good thing for the Broncos. They're going to have to bring extra help to that side to really make his job a little bit easier. And I do wonder a little bit also, he's switching sides. So last year he was rushing from the offense's left, where now he's going to be. And I know guys can switch around a little bit easier on the defense, but it's still going to make a little bit of a difference there on some of that. I'm not sure where he's been practicing most of the time here in training camp, but I still expect him to do decent, not great.
So we got Ben Lee coming in here. I cannot imagine what Vaughn is going through. Never take the game for granted because any snap could be your last. I really don't think this will be Vaughn's last snap, but good point there. And also might be his last in Denver. It really stinks, but man, he had the FU 2020, Casey Martin. Yep, I'm feeling you. And I need some of that beer. Honestly, I've been so busy prepping for the upcoming position that I have that I'd had no chance to go up and get myself an adult beverage today for the show. And then the Von Miller thing happened. I probably should have grabbed myself like five or maybe something a little stronger. But yeah. That's going to be a big bummer. And Twitchy Noob coming in here. Don't forget the D-line is improved. That's a good point, Twitchy Noob, and that means so much more is going to be on the shoulders of that defensive line. And Jarrell Casey, I mean, I know we were talking about an improved Broncos front this year. Even with Chubb coming back, it could be, I guess. I'm thinking probably more likely going to be even to a drop-off, given I have major concerns about linebacker and cornerback, and obviously there's synergy that goes on between the pass rush and the back seven, but yeah, no, it's don't forget about the D-line being improved as well. That's a good point. And I didn't want to skip you a clip, Stormborn. Yeah. Can Elway work something out with John Lynch for Eric Armstead? Didn't Eric Armstead just get paid?
Yeah, he just got paid. So I can't see, because that'd be a ton of dead money for the 49ers.
It has to be somebody that's close to the end of their contract. Otherwise, right. There's going to be an albatross of dead money. So if like
maybe D Ford
is the one that came to mind as a possibility.
Yeah.
But he just got paid 2 years ago. So
Right. But I'm just saying he's a little bit closer, so it wouldn't be as much dead money. And they did rotate him a lot more. So it wasn't like he was this great, secure starter on their defense. That's the only thing I'd say there. But he did get paid a lot of money. So I can't see them, especially again, you got to think of teams that are not going to be competing for Super Bowls. Those are the teams that are willing to sell. 49ers, they just were at the Super Bowl. So I can't see them being huge sellers, at least not early in the season, not right now. Maybe if they are 1-5, then you start looking at it. I'm looking at teams that I'm pretty sure are going to be bad this year, like Washington. Jacksonville doesn't really have anybody. I'm trying to think of other teams that I know are going to be really bad this year.
Yep, and they just got some news from Brandon Crystal. A second ago, more news on Von Miller's injury appears to be a tendon issue near the Achilles. With the new rules this year, he can go on IR and potentially return when healthy. That's not good. Not specifically the Achilles, but any sort of a tendon issue surrounding that Achilles is dangerous, and that's probably why you're immediately pushed towards surgery and being done for the year as the most likely outcome.
Yeah. Jerry Holland, would Lynch go out of his way to help us after this Gaines deal? Lynch and John Elway are actually good friends. Lynch has credited John Elway with helping get him ready to be a GM and allowing and giving him a lot of access that a lot of other people would never have gotten, especially being in media. So they are still good friends. That's why he allowed the Scangarello deal with the Broncos compared to any other teams. So I don't see that as being a reason that they wouldn't get a deal done. I see it more just because the 49ers are competing.
Yeah. That doesn't make a lot of sense. One, I mean, you talked about Suggs, you talked about Clay Matthews. Maybe those are options. I feel like that's something the Broncos probably won't do until after week one at this point. But then I don't know, man. You said Ryan Kerrigan. That was music to my ears. So we'll see. Also got Lindsey Jones coming in. Von Miller has no guaranteed money left on his contract with the Broncos. If it is a serious season-ending injury, next will come the questions about his future in Denver beyond 2020. So, yeah, I mean, guys, it's not to be – Carl, you need to be the glass half full guy. But this really – I mean, this really could be the end of Von Miller in Denver.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's like I said, there's not much to say, but it's tough news. Kind of like Chris Hernandez says here, tough news to break during the pod. Having this happen 15 minutes before we start, I mean, just emotionally, because I mean, we are tied to we've watched these guys every snap. Von Miller for the last, I mean, isn't this his 10th season?
Drafted in the 2011 draft.
Yeah.
So this
would be his 10th season in the NFL. So we've been watching this guy forever. We've gotten to know him personally on some different ways, just with his interviews and everything like that. So yeah, it is. It's very, very devastating. But I do appreciate it, Chris Hernandez saying that y'all are killing it. Appreciate that. MHH fam, please hashtag click those little thumbs up. I know today is a tough day to do a thumbs up, but we do appreciate it. And it just, yeah. And Chad, Our fearless leader coming in to keep your chin up. MHHRs is in Broncos country. The team played well in final five games with Vaughn, not at his best and fading. We hoped for a bounce back, but life will go on. All about Drew. Well, I mean, that's really, it does come down to that a little bit. If Drew Locke somehow turns into a superstar, they can still make a playoff run. They can still be a great team. To me, this is more just it changes the place where Drew Locke has to be for the Broncos to be really successful this season.
Also, if the Broncos could play their entire season versus that Houston defense, the Detroit Lions of last year, and the Oakland Raiders, now Las Vegas Raiders, I'd feel much better about it. But it hurts. I mean, it's gonna be a big major load to the Broncos. Here's a question for you. I think before this Von Miller injury, given the expanded playoff landscape this year, I thought the Broncos' chances to make the playoffs this year was a legitimate coin flip. I thought it was 50-50, could go either way, make it or not make it. What are those odds now for you? Do you agree if that was like 50-50, and now where does it sit?
I was a little more optimistic on the team than you were. Now, I did have them. I think we have an article coming out here pretty soon on all of us giving our predictions, and I had them at 9-7. This does put it to a coin flip for me.
Like, so I said, now it's a coin flip?
Now it's a coin flip for me. I was a pretty big believer in what they were doing, because like I said, I thought with Von Miller, this was going to be a top five defense, and a top five defense with an average offense can make the playoffs, especially that they added an extra playoff spot this year. So 8-8, 9-7 could get you into the playoffs. 9-7 almost guarantees you're in the playoffs. There's very few times in a year where in a season that you're going to have a bunch of 9-7 teams and not have them make it, even when there was only six.
I don't want to cut you off, but Adam Schefter just tweeted out Broncos outside linebacker Von Miller injured a tendon in his ankle on the last play of practice today and is expected to need surgery that will end his season. League sources telling ESPN. So there you have it, guys. It's probably over. And the last play of the game, shoot me.
Yeah.
the practice. I'm sorry, guys. I need to refocus here. I'm just kind of in a daze with all of this.
Okay.
I'm upset.
Let me get through some of these comments and give you a chance to gather yourself. Darian P, I was saying 19-0, but this changed things big time. 18-1, but one loss in the regular season. Well, yeah, you couldn't have, if it was in the playoffs, you wouldn't get to 18-1 if you lost in the playoffs. Ernie Mays, I'm still saying 14-2. So, you know, we still got some optimists out there. thinking there's good things ahead for this team. We'll see. Got others. No, I don't think we make it past 8-8. Like I said, you're going to be putting a lot on Drew Lock and that offense to be doing something more than what we were even thinking. I know there's a lot of people that are optimistic about that offense, but it's going to have to be even bigger. The defense, like I said, it's going to have to be the nice thing is you got Vic Fangio coaching. Last year, they were still a top 12 defense without Bradley Chubb. Derek Wolfe went down pretty early, with just about 5 or 6 games left in the year. I'm trying to think. Cornerback was banged up left and right. So you pretty much had Chris Harris Jr. and nobody else. And they were still a top 12 defense. So if I'm looking at the optimistic side of things here, at least you have the best defensive mind in football coaching this unit, that he has done more with less in the past. So the defense should still be decent. The issue that I see here is you can only coach so much, and then you get against guys like Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, all the guys that are going to be playing this year, those kind of names. Those guys can outdo good coaching. That's part of the issue here.
And it's a cliche saying, but I mean, it rings true when it comes to football, especially at the NFL level. It's not about the X's and O's. It's about the Jimmys and Joes. So yeah, you point to me to one Hall of Fame coach that didn't have Hall of Fame players.
And then the other thing that I see here for the offense, maybe it is a little bit that you have to lean a little bit even more on the run game. Keep games low scoring, keep the ball out of the offense's hands. And I mean, I thought they were going to do that early in the season anyway.
Yeah.
They just named 2 running backs as starters and Philip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon. Both of them are very capable running backs. And so maybe you can run down the clock where the other team just doesn't have opportunities to score as much. You're especially against the high scoring offenses, like you're going to see with Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay, the Chiefs, even Oakland to a point, I would say you're going to have to do some of that. So there's ways that the coaching staff can do things. They're just going to have to do an even better job if this team's going to be successful this year than what I thought they would have to do.
Really, it's coaches matter, but it's going to come down to how good Locke is. I mean, season was already going to do that, but even more of that burden falls on him now, right or wrong. I mean, he's a starting quarterback in the NFL, so that's, you're signing up for that when you're in that position. And a great comment here. Also, we barely even talked about this that much, which is probably super important. We don't got much time left, but Chubb better be healthy. And Facebook user, I don't know who you are, but your lips to God's ears. Man, you drafted Chubb 5th overall. I know he's coming off an injury that was almost a year ago now. He's a little bit dinged up, but they need Chubb, and they don't only need Chubb to be a capable starter. He has to be coming in Pro Bowl level minimum.
Yeah.
Hopefully all pro, but like if he's not playing at a Pro Bowl level, I'm talking about actually that level of play, not voted into the Pro Bowl, because that's stupid. And Trevor Siemian was a gosh darn Pro Bowler, so that doesn't mean anything. But a Pro Bowl level player, that he has to do that this year, which is might be an unfair ask of him.
But let's say top 10 pass rusher in the NFL.
Are you including interior guys?
No, just edge guys.
Okay. Yeah. So honestly, give me, if he can even be top 15, that's more than enough.
Right.
But that's a big ask.
It is. It really is. Like I said, there's more what if situations that have come about because of Von Miller being gone, because Von Miller was an absolute known. That's the main thing there. And so you're going to need a lot of young guys that are going to have to be bigger and better than what you kind of hoped for. Like I said, the offense with all these young guys, Jerry Jeudy's going to have to be an absolute stud. Noah Fant is going to have to step up and become a top 10 tight end in the NFL. Drew Lock, again, is going to have to play beyond maybe what he would have had otherwise. Like I said, there's just a lot of things going on, and you got to hope next man up. You got to hope Malik Reed, that he's better than he was last year, that Jeremiah Tachu can play like he did last year, that Jarrell Casey can be that real huge star in the middle of the field. Draymond Jones can live up to the hype that we've given him. There's just a lot of things there. Alexander Johnson. Can he live up to the hype that he set up last year? He kind of set it up pretty high for a guy that isn't the greatest coverage guy. So, again, there's just a lot more what-if situations. Doesn't mean the team's going to absolutely fall apart, but it does mean this is a lot scarier situation than it was an hour ago.
I'm laughing at this one, at least. Thank you, Jake Girard, for the comment here. Garrett, somehow this is Garrett Bowles' fault. So definitely funny. And wasn't Reed considered – oh, we got one. Oh, come on, guys. Quit commenting. No, I'm just kidding. Wasn't Reed considered on the bubble before recently? I mean, there was definitely some talk about, like, if he could be that guy because he was in a battle for sure. But it sounds like that was not actually the case. He was playing pretty well at the end of camp. Mm-hmm. And was squarely that next guy. So, yeah, I'm going to need some extra beer today in my fund. I did not grab one, but I'm going to have to go up and, I guess, catch up is the college term for that. So we just got a message from Chad that we got to get off of here at time today. So, guys, before we, you know, we're going to wrap up here pretty soon. Station identification. This is Building the Broncos podcast. We're here every Tuesday night. And actually, guys, next week, Carl, I guess this is news for you too. I've been so busy today. We're going to be probably starting an hour later, if that's okay. I guess I'm asking Carl on live on the air, but probably 7 p.m. Mountain time. So we'll get back to you. We'll let you guys know through the account. How will you know? Where will you look to know? At BTB Football Pod on Twitter. So we'll be definitely making an announcement there if the show is going to be starting to go an hour later than it has been. It would be from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Mountain Time, otherwise known as God's Time. And also important, at Mile High Huddle, follow us. Go to Huddle Up Pod, get your swag on, Building the Broncos hat. Carl, you're showing off the do today. No hat.
Yeah, sorry. I went from band practice straight to here, and I didn't have time to grab my hat. I know. Sorry.
Band. What do you play?
Piano.
Oh, man, Carl. I forgot about that. We got to play sometime. And, guys, most importantly, subscribe, like, and share. That means a lot to us. That helps us a heck of a lot. So, yeah, we got to get going here pretty soon. Here we go. Reed killed it at camp. Second best pass rusher. Hopefully Eric means edge rusher, because I'd hope that Von Miller and Jarrell Casey were looking a little better. But definitely excited to see what Reed can do. I think expecting him to be Shaq Barrett might be unfair. But if he can come in and just be – gosh, right at league average starter for edge rusher, that'd be huge. I mean, that would be, I don't want to set the expectations too low, but that would be huge for them.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's exactly what you need there. I saw somebody say Von Miller will be back at practice on Monday.
Yeah, but I appreciate that optimism, I guess. I'm curious what that logo is for him too. I cannot even tell. It looks like the Seahawks, but a hockey player.
I don't know. Have to let us know. Tyler Palumbus says, call D Ware. I will say, I do follow DeMarcus Ware on Instagram, and that man is still about as in good shape as anybody. He opened a gym, and he and his wife put out videos every single day of their workouts. And so, yeah. Oh, Eric coming in. Nope, he was behind Miller in terms of best pass rusher. Casey wasn't far behind, though. Well,
and also Eric said that Chubb might not even go week one. So you're starting starting linebackers for the Denver Broncos week one. You have Malik Reed, Jeremiah Otachu at the edge position, outside linebacker, and then inside Josie Jewell and Alexander Johnson. Gosh, they say the NFL stands for not for long, but my God. Like how things change.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Just think if Denver didn't draft wide receiver Judy and went and got Simmons, how big that would have been. Simmons. Are we talking last year's draft?
I'm not sure.
Because that would be a very different first round pick.
Jeffrey Simmons would be nice, though. We're going to get to see him week one against, cross your fingers, Graham Glasgow's back. But good luck to Cushing Bear and Reisner. Because Jeffrey Simmons is an emerging star.
Isaiah Simmons. Okay. Yeah, he was way off the board, and you don't trade up that far to get a linebacker. I liked him. We all liked him. But yeah, again, you just don't trade up that far to go get a player like that. You don't, to me, you only trade up for quarterback and maybe a little ways up for an edge rusher. That's about it. That's as far as I'm willing to go.
And Buana coming in here. Thanks, guys. Leave a like and subscribe. This has been hard. Won't lie, there's a few times there I felt a little bit of tearing up, just a little bit. I'm like, this isn't happening. But then more information at milehighhuddle.com. Obviously, there'll be articles and analysis aplenty because of this. Not only week one, Titans here Monday night, but there's going to be a lot of Von Miller information as well. What does it mean for Miller? What does it mean for the Broncos at edge? What does it mean on defense? What does it mean for the whole team? So interesting. And Jody's saying reports the Broncos did call about Jack. I'm a stickler. What is the source there? And Eric coming in. I'm far too fat to play edge. Eric, you're not fat. You're fluffy.
You're big boned.
And also, I want to say that we were having a conversation earlier between James Campbell, Carl Dummler, Lance Sanderson, Eric, and myself about the Broncos' needs. And I kept hammering how important the edge rusher position was for the Broncos in the short term and the long term, just because of Chubb's injury, his contract's coming up, and then Von Miller's age and his contract. And I feel a little bit responsible for this injury because I was pushing edge so hard as far as the Broncos being a potential 2021 first round need. And with this Von Miller injury coming now, I feel like it's somewhat came to fruition because I was putting doubt out in the universe. And now everybody
like that, that Cubs fan that can no longer be a Cubs fan. I can't remember what his name was.
Bartman. And also Eric says, I don't get to use Miller's injury to say, hey, you're right. Eric, you don't know me at all if you don't think I'm going to do that.
Yeah. All right. I had the question about the trade because I want to ask you how much are you willing to give up?
For Kerrigan?
For anybody. Like what's the highest you're willing to pay for a possible rental at the pass rusher?
I'm probably going to wait until the trade deadline as close as possible, just so that way you actually have an idea of who the buyers and sellers are, because prices should go down. And also you kind of should get an idea of what the market's going to be. But I think anything beyond a third, I'm not interested, but it depends on the player. I mean, it depends on the, how old they are, the contract, how good they are. So it just depends on them. So like somebody's asking here, Josh Allen from Jacksonville. Josh Allen's probably going to require a first round pick to get him. And I'm not doing that.
Yeah. So. Right. Right. I mean, he's good, but you're already talking about a guy that's going to be second year. So that should have lowered his value, but they can ask for what they want in that situation. But it's just, like I said, you got to think of a guy that's going to be more of a rental, a guy that's at the closer to the end of his career where teams are on that fire sale. Say Washington is 1-5 after 6 games. And they're going, we got to start thinking about the future. Ryan Kerrigan's an easy guy to go ahead and do that.
Especially when they already have 2 first round edge rushers on the team.
Right,
and exactly. Chase Young and Montez Sweat. Right. So it really, that one makes so much sense. It really does, Carl. I'm proud of you for that one. But guys, I'm proud of us for getting through this without crying as well. Men do cry, but that's going to have to do it today for us on the Building the Broncos podcast. Again, guys, we'll probably be starting an hour later next week and going forward, but that could be subject to change. We'll see, but that's going to wrap it up here. Follow Carl on Twitter at Carl Dummler MHH and myself at Nick Kendall MHH. Go to milehighhuddle.com, an affiliate of Sports Illustrated. On YouTube, guys, like, subscribe, and share. Somebody says click those little thumbs up on Facebook. That means a lot to us. And also go to iTunes, leave us a 5-star rating and a comment, as that can help us continue to bring your Denver Bronco deep dives. And we're going to have a lot this week. Football's back, but not for Von Miller. God, I'm so sad. This is the Building the Broncos podcast. We have a lot of other great audio content on here. There's the Dove Valley Deep Divers, Mile High Insiders, obviously the Huddle Up podcast. You guys can find those shows literally every day of the week. We're going to be here for you guys. Follow us on Twitter at Mile High Huddle and at BTB Football Pod. Carl, anything you want to say to the listeners, put out some positive, good vibes before we call it a close for today.
Just remember, Broncos still are a young team. They got a lot of young guys that could really step up and do something. So season is not lost. It's a little bit tougher. It's a tougher road than it was before, but doesn't mean the season's completely gone. And we still got Bradley Chubb coming back that we didn't have last year. So this is kind of one substituting for the other a little bit here.
Yeah, that's That's absolutely right. So a little bummer, guys, but we'll get through it. Going to have football Monday, a little bit of normalcy. It's a major bummer about Von Miller, but guys, we're all crying together here in the Mile High Huddle community. We're going to get through it together. So we'll see you guys same time, or not same time, new time, but same place next week here on the Building the Broncos podcast. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all. As always.
You've been listening to Building the Broncos. Join Broncos Country's deep divers at milehighhuddle.com to keep the conversation going.